Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. It is so important that we look at what's happening in the Middle East, in Israel, through a biblical lens, because if we're not doing that, then we're going to have a distorted view of what's happening in that land. So the goal of the Middle East Report is to give you accurate information about what's happening in that land, but we're going to do that through a biblical lens each and every week. And I want to thank you for listening today. Sitting across from me is my dear friend, Rabbi Pasek Wilicki. We've known each other for so long, and we are actually here at the Israel Summit, which is put on by the Israel Guys, Hi Yuvel, an incredible organization in Nashville, Tennessee. Pasek, thank you for joining us today on the Middle East Report.
Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure being with you. It's always an honor to be with your audience.
So we are here at the Israel Summit, and we're going to talk about what's happening, you know, in Israel, in the Middle East, which is just constantly changing, as we well know. But this is the Israel Summit where we are right now, and you were one of the speakers at the Israel Summit. So give everybody an idea of what this event was all about, and maybe just a little taste of your part.
Well, John, the Israel Summit was conceived of, again, by the Israel Guys. The Israel Guys, if anyone doesn't know who they are, you should definitely go to YouTube, to the Israel Guys YouTube channel, subscribe to that, and check in there daily for their video updates about Israel. They're amazing. They're a family of an extended family and friends of Christian guys from Tennessee who live out in the hills of Samaria, and they help Israeli farmers, Jewish farmers there in Judea and Samaria. And that's the Hayovel organization, and they birthed the Israel Guys, who were out there just fighting the information war. So I don't work for the Israel Guys. I'm not one of the Israel Guys. I know them, and we're good friends. One of the other sponsors of this summit is the Keep God's Land Coalition, which is a new coalition of Christian and Jewish leaders who are coming together, especially in an election year and during this war, to fight against the calls for a Palestinian state, the calls for a two-state solution, and defending Israel against the onslaught that's coming at us from the rest of the world. And we'll talk about that more in this conversation. But what this summit is a gathering in Nashville, Tennessee, of supporters of Israel. People want to learn about what's going on, want to learn the truth about Israel and get more active and get empowered. So I'm one of a number of speakers who flew in from Israel to speak at this event. Jewish speakers, Christian speakers, but there's also many speakers who are from the United States, prominent figures like Michelle Bachmann and the governor of Tennessee, Governor Lee. He spoke here as well. Since October 7th, I've been active, you know, fighting the information war and getting out there and speaking and raising awareness and fighting all the lies about Israel, and been involved trying to galvanize Jewish and Christian leaders to come together in this Keep God's Land Coalition to speak up for Israel. And I have to tell you, John, in all my years and everything I've done in my work and in my mission to bring Jews and Christians together, I have never experienced the wind at my back as I have since October 7th. Everything we have tried, everything we've worked on, we do a little bit, and boom, God just blows it up and turns it into something much stronger. We really know that we're aligned with what we need to be doing. We're really aligned with the purposes of God. And the story of this summit and how it doubled in size as a result of the enemy is really a great example of that.
You're a rabbi, you're a television host, you're an author, you have a lot going on right now in your life. What does it mean to you to see all of these people who are Zionists? They love the land of Israel, they love the Jewish people. What does it mean to you for somebody who has been working with the Jewish-Christian relations for so long, just to see so many people here loving on you guys?
Listen, it's wonderful. I myself, again, I've been involved in this space for a long time, and I have, you know, I've been exposed to thousands upon thousands of Christian supporters of Israel. So it's not like it surprises me. But at the time of war, and let me add, John, that I have two sons and a son-in-law who have spent most of the last 7 months fighting in the front lines in combat units in the Gaza Strip. So I live this in a very, very real way. And unlike other times in Jewish history where the Jewish people were really alone, the Jewish people today have millions of Christians who are fighting alongside us. But not just fighting alongside us like kind of like waving the Israeli flag and saying, yeah, we're with you, but really understanding that our fight is one fight. We are right now in a pitched battle for Western civilization. The kinetic war that Israel's fighting against these Muslim jihadists is really only one front in the same war that's being fought culturally in America. Let me explain what I mean, John. Think about the following strange event. Right after Thanksgiving, a few days after Thanksgiving, there's an event that takes place every year in New York City where there's a Christmas tree lighting at Rockefeller Plaza. It's like the kickoff to the Christmas shopping season in New York, right? They have this massive Christmas tree. People come with their families, and they light up the Christmas tree, and that sort of kicks off the shopping season. This past year, it was about, it was end of November. It's about almost 2 months after October 7th. And at the Rockefeller Plaza Christmas tree lighting, there was a violent riot of pro-Hamas, anti-Israel demonstrators who were chanting, "Christmas is canceled." So these demonstrators were protesting against Christmas in the name of being anti-Israel. Now, this wasn't an isolated event. In London, England, on Oxford Street, Piccadilly Circus area, that main shopping district in London, during the Christmas shopping season, there were similar pro-Hamas, anti-Israel protests demonstrating against Christmas in the name of being anti-Israel. And in Rome, at the La Scala Opera, where every year for many, many years there's a special Christmas performance at the opera house, the Christmas performance was interrupted and disrupted by pro-Hamas, anti-Israel demonstrators. On Easter, the St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York had its Easter Mass disrupted by pro-Hamas demonstrators. Now, let's take a step back, John. I'm going to say something that's kind of obvious. Jews don't celebrate Christmas and Easter. So as much as we can laugh at our enemies and say, well, you fools, what are you doing? Let's ask a very serious question, John. Why does it make sense to the enemies of Israel to disrupt Christmas and Easter in the name of being anti-Israel? Why does it make sense to them? Because it clearly makes perfect sense to them. To them, it's obvious. They're telling us something, John, that we have to realize. And I think most Christians, more and more Christians do realize, I don't know if I would say most, I hope it's most, but more and more Christians realize that the battle that Israel's fighting is not just a battle for Israel. Our enemies know it, as I just said, our enemies know it, that this is a battle between those who have a biblical worldview, between Jews and Christians on the one side, and the forces who come against the God of Israel. And that's why you have this strange alliance between the progressive atheist left and Islamic jihadists, who also, you would think, have nothing in common. But what they have in common is that they oppose the Bible and everything the Bible represents, essentially the underpinnings of Judeo-Christian Western civilization. So the war in Israel, the kinetic war that my children are fighting, should not be seen in isolation. Remember, our enemies don't see it in isolation either. The war that we're fighting in Israel kinetically is the same as the culture war that's being fought in America. It's the same. We are in a pitched battle for the survival of Judeo-Christian civilization.
It is a complete hatred of the Word of God. I think that's what I hear you saying. You take the Word of God, and I'm opposed to it, or I'm going to do everything I can to dismantle anything that is attached to the Word of God. And that's going on here in our country. It's going on around the world. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but especially the state of Israel. You see, the state of Israel is the worst thing in the world for people who hate the Bible. Because you and I both know that the state of Israel today, with millions of Jews ingathered from the four corners of the earth, is a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, plain and simple. There's no other way to interpret it. You have to be a fool to not interpret it that way. The Bible describes how the Jewish people will go into exile, remain in exile for many, many generations, and then at some point far in the future, they will be, even as Moses says in Deuteronomy 30, even if you are scattered to the ends of the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you in and bring you back to the land of your forefathers, and you will take possession of it, and you will become more numerous and more prosperous than your ancestors. A prophecy that only applies to the people of Israel. No other nation, of the thousands of nations from the ancient world who went into exile, not one of them ever came back and reconstituted themselves as a people after spending a long time in exile. Moses prophesies that this will happen, and it's the most repeated prophecy in the Bible, that the nation of Israel, after a lengthy exile, will come back to the land. So if the state of Israel stands and survives, then biblical prophecy is true. The state of Israel with the Jewish people in gathered is a confirmation of the truth of God and the truth of his promises and the authenticity and truth of the word of God in the Bible. So they must, the enemy who hates the Bible must delegitimize Israel and must negate it and must stand against it because it's the greatest expression of the truth of the Bible in world history.
If you love the Jewish people, you can't remain silent on what's happening in the United States with the rising tide of anti-Semitism on these college campuses. So we have got to up our game here and really get back to the Word of God and understand that all of this radical Islam stuff is not just directed at the Jewish people in the state of Israel. It's directed at people who hold up the Word of God, Christians, people who love God with all of their heart. That is what this is all about. So as you're listening right now and you're hearing all the stuff on the news, you're seeing what's going on in Israel, and you think, oh, that's just some kind of isolated thing, you know.
No, it's 5,000 miles away. It's the Jews.
Right. But it's not. It's not. It is something that all of us need to be paying attention to. Now, you mentioned Keep God's Land, all of it. This is a movement that has started here in our country. And recently, there was a letter that was signed by hundreds of Christian leaders and Jewish leaders that had to do with the land of Israel. Tell us about this movement across the country.
Okay, so Keep God's Land is a coalition. It's not really an organization unto itself, but we realized that there needs to be the voice of Bible-believing people, Jews and Christians, needs to come together. There are so many different ministries and so many different leaders who are on the same page, and we need to start working together and expressing ourselves as one voice, especially in an election year and especially during a war when the Biden administration and so many political forces in the world are spewing lies and putting real pressure on Israel. And let's understand, the pressure that's placed on Israel to back off on Hamas, or pressure that ends up leading to less weapons being delivered to Israel, or pressure that leads to more quote-unquote humanitarian aid going into Gaza, which ends up falling into the hands of Hamas, which they then sell. Hamas has made approximately $500 million from selling the aid that comes in. They're the ones who offload the trucks. They're the ones who unload the trucks, and then they don't just give it out to the people. They sell it to them. So with all of these things going on, policy actually leads to loss of life. It actually leads to real security problems for Israel. So what we did was, a few months back, we got together some prominent leaders. At the front of the line, our former ambassador David Friedman, Trump's ambassador to Israel, who was, of course, he was the one who really moved the embassy to Jerusalem. So Ambassador David Friedman, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, the current dean of the Regent School of Government at Regent University, the Robertson School of Government. So Michelle Bachmann and David Friedman at the front of the line, along with Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council, Troy Miller from the National Religious Broadcasters, and dozens of other Christian leaders and Jewish leaders that we brought together. And we formed a coalition called Keep God's Land. And the purpose of it is really to push back against all of this and make statements that represent millions of Christians and Jews who don't agree with the policies of this current government. That's the Keep God's Land coalition. It's really a coalition that is standing to defend Israel. And we put this together. It took a little while to get everyone to sign on, but people signed on really quickly. It actually went much faster. Like I said, everything since October 7th that we've tried, God has accelerated and elevated. And in mid-April, a Time magazine interview with former President Donald Trump came out, in which he spoke out against the two-state solution. You know, Donald Trump he's not coming from a theological, ideological place, but he's coming from a place of common sense. All of his policies in the Middle East were common sense. And Donald Trump said, what's common sense? He said, these Arabs, these Palestinian Arabs are teaching their children genocide. They're teaching their children to murder Jews. And as long as they're doing that, there's no possibility whatsoever that they could govern a state and live at peace with Israel. So the two-state solution is not a solution. And he spoke out against it. So what we did was we took this new coalition that we had formed of Christian and Jewish leaders, Keep God's Land, and we wrote a letter because we wanted to show President Trump, you know, he gave an interview to Time magazine. He doesn't necessarily know how every line is received. And we wanted to let him know that this is something that we agree with and we care about, and we want it to be part of his policy. So we wrote a letter. Top signatories, again, Ambassador Friedman, Michelle Bachmann, the other leaders I mentioned, Paula White, who was influential in the National Faith Advisory Board. And within a day, over 300 Christian and Jewish leaders responded to our email, signed on, and we wrote this letter and said, President Trump, what you're saying is aligned with God, it's aligned with the Bible, it's aligned with the views of millions of Jews and Christians, and it's common sense. And it's best for the security of Israel and the security of America. And we basically congratulated him, and Ambassador Friedman delivered this letter to President Trump. And since that time, we're working on another letter. I'll tell you what the letter is. The International Criminal Court announced that they are calling for arrest warrants for Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israel's Defense Minister Yoav Gallant for war crimes, which is just absurd. You know, the victims of a genocide who are fighting a just war are now called war criminals, and Israel is the most moral army in the world. And we're being called by this rogue international criminal court for war crimes. So we wrote another letter expressing our outrage at this ICC decision and our solidarity with the leadership of Israel on behalf, again, of hundreds of Christian leaders and Jewish leaders, millions of Christians and Jews. And we're also sending a letter to President Biden, a similar letter, because while the State Department has said all the right things about this ICC decision, saying that it's a bad decision and that they're opposed to it, this decision by the ICC would never have happened if Donald Trump had remained in power. And let me explain. That's not speculation. Let me explain why. Donald Trump, in 2020, issued an executive order that if the ICC, the International Criminal Court, targets American personnel or the personnel of America's allies, the members of the ICC who did that will personally be sanctioned by the United States government. If they're in the United States, they'll be deported. Their family members won't be able to come to the U.S., and more aspects of these sanctions, essentially personally sanctioning them, putting them on notice that they dare not come after America or Israel. And he really had Israel in mind because the ICC's prime target since they were created has always been Israel. It's an anti-Israel body. When Joe Biden came into office, one of his first acts as president was to rescind that executive order. Had that executive order not been rescinded, there is no doubt that the International Criminal Court would never have issued these calls for the arrest. So these calls for arresting Prime Minister Netanyahu and Defense Minister Gallant. So we wrote a letter. Again, it's now signed by over 700 Christians and Jews, mostly leadership, calling on President Biden to reinstate that executive order as a way of combating this travesty at the ICC. Now, honestly, John, I don't have great hopes for President Biden doing that. It's been rough sledding, as we would say where I grew up in Canada. It would be rough sledding. It's been rough sledding for Israel with the Biden administration. But we want to call this out and make it clear that we'll not stand idly by while Israel's leadership is targeted.
The Biden administration says, you know, the Palestinian Authority can be reformed, and then, you know, they can go in and control Gaza. What do you think about that? And then we're going to give everybody the contact information for Keep God in the Land.
You know, the idea that the Palestinian Authority, the PA, under the leadership of Mahmoud Abbas, could govern a peaceful state or is more moderate than Hamas, this is all a fallacy. First of all, there were members of the Palestinian Authority governing faction, Fatah, who participated in the October 7th atrocities. Furthermore, Palestinian Authority, as I said, is governed by Mahmoud Abbas. Mahmoud Abbas was elected in the year 2006 to a four-year term. They have not held elections ever since. And the reason they haven't is that according to all polling, going back all the way to then, it shows that if there were an election in the territories of Judea, Samaria, which many people know as the West Bank, which is a phony term, it's Judea and Samaria and Gaza, that if the Palestinian Authority had, if there was an election in those areas among the Arab population, Hamas would win overwhelmingly. Mahmoud Abbas is currently polling at less than 20%. But even if he were to win, he is a Holocaust denier, and the Palestinian Authority has a policy that they've had in place since they were founded by Yasser Arafat, that any terrorist who murders Israelis or honestly, Western visitors to Israel. Anyone, any terrorist who commits terrorist murder in Israel, their family gets a lifetime stipend. They get a payout, a reward for committing acts of murder. They incentivize and support terrorism. They deny Israel's right to exist. They educate their children to murder Jews. There is functionally no difference between them and Hamas, except that Hamas is more openly, you know, is more open about their jihadism. But the concept that the Palestinian Authority could govern a peaceful state alongside Israel is absurd, and the Israeli people will never stand for it. All of these calls for a two-state solution don't take into account that there is zero support. I shouldn't say zero. According to the polling, very, very little support in the Israeli population for a two-state solution, for the creation of a terror state. Because what we just experienced, Israel pulled out of the Gaza Strip in 2005. We gave the keys to the Arabs, to the Palestinians, and we said, go ahead, govern yourselves. There's not a single Israeli soldier or Israeli civilian in the Gaza Strip since 2005. And what did they do? They spent all the foreign aid that they got, all of the money that they had, and they got billions and billions in foreign aid from all over the world, and they built a network of terror tunnels, they built up munitions, and it was all designed to commit the atrocities like October 7th, to fire rockets at Israeli towns. That's what they did with their independence. Why on earth would anyone think that the right response to October 7th is to reward these people with a state that would just be another terrorist state attacking Israel?
All right, I only have about a minute left here to the end of the Middle East Report, but I know that you speak in churches and places all across the country. You have such a love for Christians, and you're a rabbi, you're a Jewish rabbi, you live in Israel. Speak to the people who love the Jewish people, love the land of Israel, and what's the message you want to share with them right now in this very difficult time?
Isaiah speaks of a time in the future where the temple is rebuilt in Jerusalem. And he refers to the temple as a house of prayer for all nations. A house of prayer for all nations. And what Isaiah is saying is that the people of Israel, our goal is not the people of Israel. Our goal is the unity of all people together in service of the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And like I said before, John, this war in Israel is not about Israel. Israel's on the front lines. We're fighting a kinetic front in this war. But this is the war for the Bible and for the God of the Bible and for all the values of the Bible. That's what we're fighting for in Israel. Israelis are waking up to that more and more. There's a spiritual revival going there. And my message to your listeners is that don't think that this war is about someone else. This war is about you. Join the fight. Be a part of it. Join the Keep God's Land movement, and together we will bring the kingdom of God to this earth.
Rabbi Pesach Walicki, he speaks all over the country. You can contact him to bring him in to a church. You can bring him in for a speaking event all across our great nation. And, of course, you're an author. You've got a blog that you do. You have a podcast, Shoulder to Shoulder, so people can reach out and get a hold of you. You know, you're on the World Wide Web.
I'm easy to find.
You're easy to find. So Pesach Walicki, Rabbi Pesach Walicki, our guest today, thank you for your friendship. Thank you for what you're doing in Israel. May God continue to bless all that you do all across this country and across the land of Israel. And again, thank you so much for joining us on the Middle East Report.
Thank you, John. Always an honor. God bless.
As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I want to encourage you to connect with Rabbi Pesach Walicki and all that he's doing through the Keep God's Land movement and the entire team there. You can visit their website, keepgodsland.com. That's keepgodsland.com. Keepgodsland.com. There's a lot of great information on the website. There are some petitions that you can sign to help you stand with Israel. You'll see videos. You will see printable resources. You'll see some teaching material there as well. Also, I saw on the website that they have a Young Leadership Fellowship, which actually encourages young people to go on tour there in Israel, and they are going to hold another tour very, very soon. So if you want to find out about that, you can visit keepgodsland.com, keepgodsland.com. And I just want to encourage you to please continue to pray for everything going on there in Israel. They are facing So many things right now, one of the most difficult times in the history of Israel. As we think about everything that's going on there in the land of Israel, we always have to go back to the Word of God. Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter, God is instructing the people of Israel on what they need to do when crossing over to the land that God promised them. And here's what it says. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant, his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. God will never break the covenant that he has with the Jewish people and the land of Israel. That covenant that he has for the land and for the Jewish people is unrevocable. It's unbreakable because it's from God. And you know, that's really good news for all of us because we serve a God who keeps his promises, who keeps his covenants, not only for the Jewish people, but for you and me as well. And so that should really encourage us. So let's continue to pray for everything going on there in the land of Israel. Another scripture to think about is Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 35 and 36, where it says, "This is what the Lord is saying. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me." That's never going to happen. God will never break his covenant with the Jewish people. And I just want to encourage you to please continue to stand with the Jewish people. Visit that website, keepgodsland.com, to find out how you can stand with the Jewish people. As we wrap up this edition of the Middle East Report, I want to encourage you to subscribe to the Middle East Report wherever you get your podcasts. We are on all the major podcast platforms, Podbean, Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, all of those major podcast platforms. That will help the show to grow. It'll give it a bigger audience so that we can continue to get out the truth about what's happening with the Jewish people and the land of Israel. There are so many lies out there regarding Israel and the Jewish people. We need to speak the truth, and that's what we do every single week here on the Middle East Report. So I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast and follow me. That's the Middle East Report. Thank you for listening. And by the way, you can also get the podcast at afr.net. I'm John Riley.